Today we're celebrating the achievements of one of ballet's great innovators, David Bintley. David is an internationally renowned ballet dancer, choreographer and director, and he's currently artistic director at the Birmingham Royal Ballet. David was born in Huddersfield, and at the age of 16 he started training at the Royal Ballet School in London. From there he moved to Sadler's Wells Royal Ballet, and he excelled as a character dancer. Before long, David's talent as a choreographer came to the fore, and in 1978, his first professional commission resulted in The Outsider. By 1983, he'd produced his first major narrative ballet and had become resident choreographer of Sadler's Wells Royal Ballet. He took the same role with the Royal Ballet and triumphed with productions of Still Life at the Penguin Cafe and Hobson's Choice. In 1995, David arrived in the West Midlands to join Birmingham Royal Ballet, where he continues to work today. He was now able to shape a company in his own light, and Birmingham Royal Ballet shared David's passion for ballet in its most classic form to great success. He was rewarded with a CBE in 2001. He later went on to divide his time between Birmingham and a new challenge as the National Ballet of Japan's artistic director. Again, David found his audience with popular works such as The Prince of the Pagodas and Aladdin. Today, David Bintley receives an honorary Doctor of Letters from the University of Warwick. Welcome to Warwick.
Thank you.
And congratulations on your honorary degree.
Thank you very much.
What does this award mean to you?
Do you know, this isn't the first time I've been given an honorary doctorate. The first time, a couple of the Birmingham universities, I think they saw me as fresh meat when I went up to Birmingham in 95, so 20 years ago. And I didn't really... I know nothing about academia, or at least I didn't then. So it was all rather bewildering. But I'm sort of getting used to it now, and I enjoy it. It's a really wonderfully charged occasion, and I just love seeing all those people going up there and just thinking, what potential, what beginnings we have here, you know. It's and then all the families, and of course since I have one son who's done the whole university thing, you know, BA, MA, doctorate, and I have another one who's just embarking upon that life. So I've been a member of the audience on several occasions, and I know how exciting that is in amongst all, you know, the 1.5 hours traffic. That you get that 30 seconds where your son or your daughter is absolutely there, you know, it's and I know the work that goes into it. So I always feel two things. I feel enormously lucky, and I always feel a bit of a fraud as well, because I've done no work for it. But at the same time, I know what the work entailed is, and so I know that when something like this is given, it's given perhaps for my own work. You know, perhaps the work that I've been doing all my life is kind of similar in a way. Although for me, it's just been fun, you know, because I like what I do.
Well, you've certainly had an extraordinary career. And it all started when you moved from your home in Huddersfield. And I think you were just 16 when
yes.
you moved to train in London. What was it like making that move at that age?
Well, it was thrilling, of course. You know, I learned to dance at a local school in Huddersfield. And my one dream was to get to the Royal Ballet School. That was it. Nothing else mattered whatsoever. And I did that. And, you know, there weren't many ballet companies in Huddersfield. There weren't many ballet companies in Birmingham at that time. You know, we're going back to the 70s. And if you wanted to do this, if you wanted the best place to study, the best teachers, if you wanted to join the best companies in the world, they were based in London in the southeast. So I remember my poor mum, and of course I've had two sons now leave at the age of 18, and I know that particular pain, and it really is it's a painful thing. And I know, I think back now to when my mum left me down in London at 16, 17, and it must have been an enormous wrench for her. But for me, gosh, I was just thrilled. I was there, you know. You know, I was on the bottom of the ladder, but thrilling.
And did you always know that you wanted a career in ballet?
No, I was on stage very early. I was on stage when I was four. But I mean, literally, it was just a bunch of kids at the local Sunday school. And they used to get all the church pews and put them up against the wall and then put some planks on them and make a makeshift curtain and then have some lighting, which I think I seem to remember as being car headlamps fixed to broom poles and then directly to batteries. It was that sophisticated. But that was it. From that age, I never wanted to do anything but be on a stage and show off, which is not like me now at all. I'm not... when you do it at four, by the time you're 24, you know, you've had enough of it. But no, stage struck. And then my sister went to a local dance class and she was getting on stage sort of once every 3-4 weeks. And I thought, oh, this is a way to get on stage. And at 10, 11, I didn't realise that, you know, I would get stick for that later. It was just getting on stage. That was it. And then I think it was about 14 that I really thought, I want to do classical dance. I want to do ballet. And that's mainly because everybody told me I wouldn't be good enough at it. And so I just went, right, I'll show you.
So in 1995, you came to the West Midlands to take up the role with the Birmingham Royal Ballet. What attracted you to that role?
That's complicated. The company in Birmingham, Birmingham Royal Ballet, relocated in 1990 from Sadler's Wells Theatre in London. Now, I graduated from the Royal Ballet School into the Sadler's Wells Royal Ballet, and I was there for 10 years. And then I left that company because my wife, who was a dancer, who I'd met in the company as well, had our first son. And I moved to the Royal Ballet because that meant that I was then based in London rather than touring around a lot. I spent 7 years there, ended up not being too happy there, did a couple of years freelancing. But at the same time, the Sadler's Wells Royal Ballet, my first company, had moved to Birmingham. And somebody had mooted very early on that I might be somebody who would direct that company. Now, at that time, I never wanted to be a director. All I wanted to do was choreograph. But partly my disillusionment at the Royal Ballet and my desire to live and work in a company of like-minded people made me think the only way I can do that is to direct, is to dictate how the company works. And that was really it. So that was clearly what attracted me to the company, the fact that it had been my old company. I'd spent 10 very, very happy years there. And to all intents and purposes, it's still the same company. We have a great family atmosphere in that company. It's 60 dancers strong. So it's a lot of dancers. Mm-hmm. But if you look at some of the major, major big companies like the Royal Ballet, I think is 100 dancers now. When you've got 60 dancers, you know them all by name and you can manage every single one's career. You start getting bigger than that, then people start to matter less and then you lose that family kind of atmosphere. And that's what I really love about Birmingham Royal Ballet, is that we still have this really strong, mutually supportive group of people that, you know, we all know each other. We're friends as much as anything else.
So considering that you never thought that you would become a director and then you took on that role, did it surprise you the way you took to that role, how much you enjoyed it?
Well, I made some really big mistakes the first 5 years. I mean, really, you know, stupid mistakes because I didn't know what a director was or did or how you handle people. And I think I've just grown into it over the years. The hard thing about it is that you are in charge of all of those people, all of their careers, all of their dreams, all of their desires, but all of their different capabilities. Some of them, you know, from the word go, are going to be stars, and some of them, you know, are not going to progress too far. But you have to motivate all of those people and give them work to their full capabilities. And that is the really, really hard thing. But it's actually the thing that I enjoy as well. I do enjoy it. I And at the end of the day, as they say, I like to feel good about everybody that I've worked with who's passed through the company, that I did the best that I could to exploit their fullest potential, even if that wasn't as high as they want it to go, you know.
What do you think drives your passion for ballet? Are you a fan of modern ballet, or you prefer more classic forms?
That's complicated, because I don't believe in modern ballet or classical ballet or whatever. There are ballets which come from different periods, but you can still be creative within that language. I'm doing a piece at the moment which is based on Baroque dance. So I'm going back to 1653 and Le Ballet de la Nuit, which was created by Lully and Molière and Louis XIV, who was a 14-year-old boy. And in researching that, I'm looking at a lot of the Baroque dance companies around the world. And the interesting thing there is that what you have is not people who are just digging up the past or trying to recreate the past, but they are creating in the Baroque style. They're using the Baroque technique, but they're making new dance. Mm. So to me, it doesn't make any difference. I can still make you a new ballet using what I suppose people would term classical ballet, you know, danse de l'école, the steps that they were using back when Petipot was making Swan Lake and Sleeping Beauty. So to me, the differences in the labels, these are things that critics kind of stick on things because they like this and they don't like that.
Yeah.
And I'm just somebody that, yeah, I like all dance, and it's all interesting and it all goes into the mill. Having said that, I work with a ballet company and we are trained largely in the classical style. But for me, you see, and this is where it gets contentious, that, you know, if you get a dancer who's trained in that style, who still has the inquisitiveness and the aptitude and the ability to adopt another style, to dance, like somebody like a great dancer like Baryshnikov, who was able to tap dance, who was able to do contemporary dance and work with Mark Morris. That's the greatest dance machine in the world to me. Because there's no doubt about it. The classical ballet technique is the hardest dance technique in the world. It is absolutely unforgiving. There's no black and white with it. It's right or it's not right. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're learning that technique, they don't take into account that you've got one leg shorter than the other or, you know, one arm or whatever. It's, you know, that's what it is.
And what about the public response to ballet? Do you think that's changed over your career?
Yes, it fluctuates. It fluctuates. And, of course, a lot of what I see, because I work a lot internationally, is things which are going on around the world. And it's interesting how those things quite often are similar. You get the same problems in Japan, the same problems in America that you will get in England or in Europe. And I was recently at, a few years ago, but there was a big conference of artistic directors of ballet companies from all over the globe. And we all came together and we all had a few drinks over 2 or 3 days and we all had a good natter, you know. And you find that everybody's got the same problems. Everybody's got the same problems. It doesn't matter where you're from. We've all got the same problems. Ballet at the moment is doing well. We've got an uncertain future. I think everybody's got an uncertain future. And we are, at the moment, we are finding it difficult to be as innovative and as new as we would like to be. We're still doing it. We're still persevering with what I think is important research, if you like. But at the same time, the money is on the big ballets now, perhaps more than I've known it be for quite some years. We can get very big audiences for the well-known works, things that people have heard about, things that people think are safe, or they'll get their money's worth, you know. And I suppose you can't blame people because everybody's hard up. But you know, we're smart, and we'll sneak the modern stuff in there, you know, when they're not looking. And you know, that for us, that's the future. We don't want to spend The Rest of Our Lives, dancing work, which was made over 100 years ago. It's great stuff. That's why it's still around. And it's very testing for us as well. That those ballets are still very testing for us. But we want to make history. You know, we want to make things which reflect our age, our period, our time, so that the people 100 years from now who are landed doing the work that we made, which is popular and their stuff isn't, you know, that we'll feel we've existed. You know, we've been there.
So finally, what words of advice do you have for your fellow graduates here today?
In my speech to the congregation today, I said one thing really, which is that it's about work. I mean, there's just no escaping it. You know, now there's research about work, isn't there? You know, unless you've done 10,000 hours of something, you're not going to be any good at it. And if you have, you are going to be good at it. Just that amount of work. My dance teacher at the Royal Ballet School used to just say, it's the law of averages. You know, if you just keep, if you do it 10,000 times, you know, you'll get it right in the end. So there's a lot of that. But of course, I'm really lucky because that work for me has always been something which has interested me. And so that's what I would just say to anybody, you know, find what you want to do. And if that makes you money, fine. If it doesn't make you money, fine again. If it's what you want to do, then it isn't hard work. And those 10,000 hours are hours of pleasure, not of grind. You know, I'm really one of the luckiest people. I've hardly done a day's work in my life because it's every day is just play. It's just fun. You know, and it's not always easy by any means, but. It's always fun. And that's what I say to young dancers as well, you know. Enjoy it, for goodness sake. You know, you've got 10 years of this, and then you're going to be thinking, well, what am I going to do now? You know, don't, you've got to enjoy it, even if it's hard work.
That's great. Thank you so much.
That's a pleasure.